says. But now you've brought us together, and I pray that you give to me again, as I've prayed in secret, I pray again, the grace to somehow make clear your word this morning, Lord. Make clearer your counsel that does not change. Your word says that nobody is sufficient to these things. Our sufficiency is of the Lord that makes us able ministers of the New Testament, not just in a matter of reading the letters, but in spirit. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to our children. Help them to understand. Speak to their parents. For Father, which one of us has full understanding? Your word says precepts upon precepts, line upon line, a little here, a little there. I pray that the precepts for the day, the word we need for this week, please give to us today in Jesus' name. Even at this moment, Father, the evil one who is yet to be banished is waiting to misinterpret, misreceive, misdirect this word. Father, we don't have the power to resist him except by your Holy Spirit. Let there be salvation this morning. Clarity, O Lord. Father, if it's true that we desire to do your will and you search all hearts, as many as seek you this morning, Baba, let your mercy not allow us to go home empty. We need you every hour. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Praise the Lord once again. Isn't it a joyful thing to be in church, to be in service? We're already in church. Is it not a joyful thing to be a believer? Do you feel the joy of being a believer? Don't lie. Do you feel a joy of being a believer? Silence. Who feels the joy of, please don't, because honestly, this thing is not always joyful. It may be that while I'm brimming with joy, this is your week of trial. Who feels? You do. You are joyful this morning. Which brother or sister is not quite that joyful this morning? I'd like us to pray. This is the area we always like to talk about the joyful part, but is there someone here who is not feeling it? There was a time that our Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane wasn't feeling it. Said, Lord, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Who is going through such a valley this morning? Who is a believer and you're wondering, Lord, you're so far from me? May we have the kind of community that will feel free to also raise our hands without people thinking we are witches or demons. Because honestly, we can all dress up bright like Sister Shade. But you know, most of this race is not easy. Most of it, unless Satan is dead. But we must encourage one another. The last several weeks, I've been talking about what? Who can mention? We have insisted that Jesus is the head of his church. And it's a very important topic. Because unless you want to close your eyes to the truth, the Christian world is passing through a crisis right now. If those of us in it do not know it, unbelievers know it. They don't see the church as a place of integrity anymore. They see high-flying ministers. They see the poor despised among us, despite what James said. They see personal preferences. No matter how much we say it, this is not reflective of the Jesus that we saw. They see the worship of men. No matter how much, it's difficult to hear. That is not what the Bible teaches. The world knows it. In fact, the Bible, the scripture says, my name today is evil spoken of because of the way you are. I don't mean you. In fact, we must point to ourselves, the way we act. They see religion, they don't see love. they hear us talk about the Bible. They say, we love the Jesus you talk about, but we don't love you. You, the you. You don't act like the Jesus that we talk about. We may not say it, but a book of Proverbs says, if you cover your sin, you will not prosper. But when you confess it, you will find, and forsake it, you will find mercy. And Peter speaking told us, this is time when judgment will start from the house of the Lord. He said, if the righteous are scarcely saved, it's a time when we believers must do what we're going to start talking about today. But it all starts from understanding that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, the head of his church. The church is not made for man. It's not made for you and I. We read today in Isaiah 42, where the Lord says, I will not give my honor to anyone. These are serious things, brothers and sisters. We can go from prophet to prophet to prophet. Even the great prophet Moses, what was the mistake that Moses made that he did not enter the promised land? What? That is what we generally say. And that is true. That was the action. He did not what? That is what the Lord said. He said, you did not honor me before your people. And what was the action? He was told to speak, he struck. But the Lord revealed something to me, brothers and sisters, that when a man speaks in the passion and the honesty and the glory of his God, the Lord is not angry with you. Remember the same Moses carried a whole holy Ten Commandments and in the righteous anger of God. Was the Lord displeased with him? No, the Lord simply cut another stone and he rewrote it. But we look at actions, God looks at heart. What displeased the Lord is not the striking in anger, it was what Moses said. Moses said, will I now bring water from the rock? I bring water from this rock. I. Moses was a meek man. He never made mistakes like that, but he made that mistake. If I remember carefully, he went to the Lord to plead. Look, I've suffered so much. I want to get to that promised land. So don't talk about it to me anymore. Okay, this is what I'll do for you. Go to the top of the mountain. I will let you see it, but you will not. May we not be people who will be near the kingdom. But because we don't get this thing, the honor and the glory and the majesty of Jesus our Lord, which is the cornerstone of our faith, we don't get to enter. I is dangerous. It is no longer. I wanted to see the sons and daughters of old revivers and the new generation. Do you know that song? Your dad and your mom will know it. When you get on the phone, ask them, do you know it? It's no longer I, that they will finish the song before you start singing it. Sister Shade, of course. Jesus is the life in me. Fola Shade. It is no. Well, hooray. The Lord is your strength. That liveth in me. I. It is no longer that life that lives, but Christ that lives in me. I am crucified with Christ nonetheless. Brothers and sisters, we've been preaching honestly. Before the great revivers and the great revivalist of our time, before signs and wonders and miracles, before salvation, there's something that must be established. That is what? Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher. And the Spirit has been revealed that the focus has been moving away from Jesus, our Lord, and we have to bring it back. He said, if I am lifted up, I'm going to draw men to me. And I've witnessed, I'm old enough and young enough to know a generation in which our church was full of Jesus. I don't mean New Covenant. I mean church. Denominations are not church. The whole body of Jesus. Last week, we gave example. I remember even before I was born again, the atmosphere was saturated with Jesus Christ. Christians were Christians. In fact, I remember companies would say that if you want to hire an accountant, sure banker, INSE. It is no longer them. The more Christ has been removed, the less of righteousness and faith. In fact, when you remove Jesus from religion, from faith, all you have is religion. We have not been called to a set of doctrines. We have been called to a man, and we have been reinforcing this. And one of the ways I've been challenging you through scriptures by the Spirit of the Lord is to point you out that let's get familiar with his word. We know people who can cite whole passages of rap music, but we can't recite the Sermon on the Mount by heart after 20 years of reading it. I was asking, do you know Jesus has something to say about what we wear, what we eat, what we drink? I was asking in Bible study, people in Laurel House Fellowship, please don't answer this. I said, who knows what Jesus' favorite food is? Someone said that on Wednesday. Is it the word of God? He said, my food is to do. I should know. We should know. It sounds ridiculous, but we should be that familiar with Jesus. Because the lack of it, one day we'll be fasting and just quarter to breaking fast, breakthrough. Satan will give us stone and say, you have power now. Turn it to fish. And if we don't know that fish is less important than doing God's will, we're going to break that fast just before the salvation of mankind. It is important. Little things about Jesus are important, especially to believers. You should be able to speak to, he says, speak to yourself with psalms and spiritual songs, making melodies in your heart unto the Lord. If I go to Sister Kemi and in the integrity and words of Wale Adeniyi, and I'm not even as brilliant as she is, why would she take me seriously? If I say to this, sister, thus saith the Lord, she should look at me and go, although you don't have as much money as me, the name you came to me with is heavy. Sit down, let's talk. Jesus should settle everything. Jesus is the great equalizer. In fact, we ought to love one another for Jesus' sake. And I've stood bold on this pulpit to tell all of you that do not exalt any man above Jesus. The prophet said it. Christ himself said it. He said, he that honors the Son honors the Father also. And why are we making that emphasis? Whether we like it or not, the influence of men is taking us away from Jesus Christ. That's why we have denominations, or people call them abominations. It's not the will of God that will be so divided. This church father said this, another said this, and I keep asking, but what did Jesus say? Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, I long for the day when you can enter a Christian home and declare the word of God to husband and wife and show them what the counsel of Jesus is, and that settles it. It's no longer like that. I long for the day when you can speak to an errant brother, a backsliding sister, who loves the Lord, and show them in scripture what the counsel of God is, and that settles it. Every argument stops. But when you remove the master from the church, there's no more instruction. May the Lord help us and revive us. There will be no salvation until Jesus is exalted, exhausted, exalted. Give me that old-time religion. Old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas. Good for Paul and Silas. They did not read the second seven theories, seven steps, seven these. The good old religion. 52 verse 7 of Isaiah. It says, the feet is so beautiful of those who preach the good news, who proclaim salvation. Those who proclaim unto Zion, thy Lord cometh. So how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, who bring glad tidings of good things. Jesus is beautiful. And I pray that all of us here, we know him as a man. In fact, do you know what the Lord's favorite title for himself is? He's many things. But do you know the title that he loves the most? Son of Man. Not even Son of God, he is. Not Prince of Peace, he is. Not Lord of Lords, he is. The one he loved, in fact, he gave himself that title. Son of Man. That's how relatable. That's how he wants to be our Lord, our friend. After he resurrected, he said to his disciples something that broke my oh, made me quake, which reveals what Jesus feels about you and I. He said, go and tell my brothers and your brothers that I go to my father and your father. Tell me which famous man speaks that way. Don't our ministers tell us to worship them? Don't they have may God around themselves? Don't they say they are too busy? Don't they say we should come to them so that they will pray on our behalf to our God? But the Son of Man, whom I exalted and him I preach, and him alone, on his covenant and grace I stand eternally. May I see him in his glory. May I be faithful to every call that he has given me. He calls me his brother. How would the Son of God call me his brother? How will a miracle worker say his father is now my father? That's the way Jesus sees me and you, and it's the way he wants us to see him. On the day when the Lord resurrected, what happened in the temple? Who can tell me what the significance? I don't, did any scripture really describe what the significance was? Maybe Hebrews mentioned it, I'm not sure. If anybody remembers any scripture. But to me, the way I've always had it preached, and I believe this, is that that signifies that from that day, from the littlest of us to the greatest of us, we no longer have to go through the middle court or the brass brazen or bronze, whatever, the laver. We no longer need a high priest. That is Jesus. You can literally go to your room today and kneel down, and Jesus will answer you. He knows our names. The lack of a leader in church or every utter, like that Isaiah 52 tell us, everybody that replaces Jesus to you is doing a damage to the gospel. That's what the Bible teaches. Peter, James, and John, if you dare exalt them above being ordinary preachers, they will. What we are talking about is they will literally. I just want you to know why this is important. This is a trick of Satan. May the Lord open our eyes to see what the will of God is. They will, if you dare to exalt them above, they will, the Bible says, rent their garment. Do you understand? Romoke, aka Mitu, what Uncle Wally is saying? Very kind of me to kind of understand. Because I want this to be simple before we move on to the topic of the day, and I promise I will not keep
Well, from what I've heard so far, basically what you're saying is that our focus like needs to be on Jesus, 'cause he is like he encompasses what Christianity means, that it's not about like all these different theories that people like come up with, or like just what the world has tried to like infiltrate into like Christianity. Jesus is the center, and that's what our walk should be about.
Would you agree with me that there's been a lot of things infiltrated in Christianity? Am I? Who disagrees? Who? Now about this. Who disagrees that we're in a crisis of identity as saints today? Who thinks today that in terms of doctrine, organization, structure, that our church today reflects the church that the apostles talked about in the Bible? Please. And did I say who disagrees? That's so intimidating. Okay, who agrees? Who is praying for revival? Who thinks we need a revival in church today? How many of you? Hands up. Vast majority. How shall we start? I say that it's the beginning is to exalt Jesus. Let's go back to where this whole thing started. It started with the good news of the coming of the Son of Man. Let all the angels of the Lord worship him. It starts from the simplicity of the gospel and it goes to the topic. I'm moving because we've been preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I'm going to start on faith in Jesus alone. I'm taking on the topic of faith. And the first thing, please start, we're going to read through a few verses, is Paul's declaration in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. He says there are three very important themes in Christianity. You know this verse. They are what? That's the passage on love. He finished it by saying there now lies three things. What? Okay, let's put the hope and the love. We'll get to that. But faith. Faith. And we're going to deal in faith. I qualified it by saying we're going to focus not on the theories of faith. I'm not interested in the define faith. How many types of faith there are? Faith in things, faith of things. All of those theories, I'm not interested. I want to look in the coming weeks at the character of faith. It's like love. There are so many definitions of it. But when you are loved, you know how you feel. And you know how you feel when you are not loved. If you have it, you know it. The eating of the pudding is, or was it, the tasting of the pudding is in the eating. It's the same with faith. What does it mean? What does faith mean from the perspective of our Lord Jesus Christ? We'll be examining that. Christ, Paul said there are now lies three things. Faith was one of them. I'm going to qualify it because I don't want us to do, I'm not interested in theology. I'm not interested in topical studying. I don't want to write 10 books on faith. I'm interested in Jesus. But that's why I'm interested in what it means to have faith in Jesus by examining the works of our Lord and the people who walked with Jesus. Even in the Old Testament, the people who walked with God, how was their faith expressed? In the next few weeks, we do that. Then some other, I also looked at the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 8. Quick Bible quiz. Who knows what Luke 18 is about? Real quick. I looked at it this morning, so I remember. Pray. Men ought to what? Pray and not to faint. Clerical fellowship in effect. Luke 18, 8. But verse 8 there was not a happy passage. Have you ever meditated on that? Oh, you're already projecting it. Jesus, our Lord, the center of the church, said, but when the Son of Man comes, when you look at how many churches we have, how many seminaries, how many faith projects? The answer to that question you say is what? Of course. Of course. How many ordained ministers every year? How many people coming forward to say the sinner's prayer? You say, of course you will find there's more faith here today, Lord, than when you were on earth. But be very careful when Jesus says something. The one that sees the future from way back, he shook his head. He said, but when? What do you think the Lord was saying there? I think the Lord was saying, what you may call faith may not be the right one. Whatever it is that is spreading today may not be what Jesus is looking for. Be very careful. Be very, and as a teacher of God's word, it is by the Spirit of the Lord my job to look into God's word. And when I open my mouth, to try to discern what it is that the Spirit is saying to the church. It's easy to preach, brothers and sisters. What is difficult to preach is what you do not want to hear. May I not be like the false prophets that people applauded and they are popular. Jesus said that's what they did for the false. He said, be very careful. Satan is alive. Until Jesus comes, there will be something he has to say that you do not want to hear. It's easy. He said in the last days, they will pile up teachers after their own hearts who will tell them the things that they want to hear. That's what's happening today. Those teachers will tell us faith is spreading. But Jesus told us the way to life is not as easy as we make it. The gate is very crooked. And what? What's the word? Eh? Did I say it the other way? Okay. Idea is needed. He said, multitude, we find it. The same Jesus now stood and said, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith or not? Then another scripture went on for that to say, examine yourself and be sure that you are in faith. There's nothing Satan likes more than comfortable Christians. People who no longer examine. Paul says something. He said, a Berean Christian for me, I consider them much more noble than those ones in Thessalonica. What was the difference between the Berean and the Thessalonican Christians? College age, high school. Which one of you know that passage? Any one of you? Who can tell us? Hey, Ramoka, aka me too.
I think I know this.
Yeah.
The Berean Christians, they went back to like study the word, see if what he was saying.
They took notes. They did not take the word of Paul's because he was performing miracles. Both Thessalonians and Berean, Paul performed miracles everywhere he went. Only one of those went back home, knew that the truth coming out of his mouth is eternally more relevant than the miracles they saw. Remember, many saw the miracles of Jesus Christ, but how many believed in Jesus? They just kept coming back for more. I pray that we'll be Berean. What we should be interested in is these words we're speaking. Let's go back home. Let's trust in the Holy Spirit to tell us whether they are true or not. And the great apostle said, I love the Bereans. They came back and they said, oh, how I love the Samaritan woman too. She said, no, actually, the Samaritans are the ones I like. This woman went back and said, see, oh, I've seen a prophet. He told me everything that I've ever done. Could he possibly be the Messiah? Come and see. And then they went there. And the last statement to that woman was, now, we've seen for ourselves. And we believe not because you told us, but now we believe. I commend you, New Covenant Church. Please go back to everything you are learning and search the scriptures. See whether they are true or not. He said, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. But those are the same scriptures that speak about me. Go back. Pharisees and Sadducees never sought the scriptures. They always wanted to see how they could counter Jesus. They were not listening with the right ear. Christ was saying something, they were hearing something else. Did God get angry with them? 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew. What did the Lord say to them? Do you know my Lord never got angry except with a group of people? You could be a sinner. You could be a prostitute. In fact, his disciples that were cheating, the one that was plotting his death, did he get angry with Judas? But every time there was a group of people that Christ could not stand. Who are they? And scribes. Oh my goodness. The things Jesus told scribes, whitewashed sepulchres, fools. Meanwhile, I was the one telling us not to call anybody fools, though. But the Lord called, I'll skip, and it's not once. It's as if every time the Lord turned to this, he'll be speaking kindly to everybody, all the no matter how sinful you are, he has the kind word for you. But when it's Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, the Lord had no patience for them. He said, you will not enter life, and those that want to enter, you will hinder them. It is time that we examine ourselves and see whether the faith we are walking in is the biblical faith. Praise the Lord. And we're at 0000. I'll borrow 5 more minutes. I'm just laying the background to faith today. Next time, is Brother Oshet coming next week? I know he's coming. Brother Peter, the keeper of the inn. Yeah, no, but they're coming right after. I remember they're doing the funeral, and I think they're traveling right after. Do you know when your guests are coming? Hey, the keeper of the inn. Yeah, but I think it's anyway, the next time we'll continue to lay the fire. Karen, you okay? Can someone help? Go back home. I want you uncomfortable, brothers and sisters, because woe is he who is at ease in Zion. A little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hand to sleep. That's when bandits or your want will come upon you like a bandit. This is not the time. The call of Jesus is to be sober and to be vigilant and to be watchful unto prayers. For our adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom. Do you understand a word of what I'm saying? What's your name? Angela. Angela. Angela Oluwa. What's your last name? Yeah, are you Tayo's kid? Yeah, no. Yeah, Bumi, no. No, Bumi doesn't. Biola's kid. Okay. I saw your dad for the first time a few weeks ago. You don't look like him. What was I saying? Yeah, I wanted to be, thank you, Sister Ken. I wanted to be, listen, these are serious. These are issues that govern life. Please search the script. I commend you to Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Listen, you should not be interested in religion. Religion will kill you. There's been religion before Christ, but Christ will save. Be interested in what the Master is telling us. I quoted from Hebrews last week, chapter 1, the opening verses. He said, the same Father who in time past spoke to us through the prophets, in these last times have begun to speak with us through his son, Jesus Christ. And I'm just praying to my brothers and sisters, let's be saints who love Jesus. Let's be saints. Let's get it clear in our heart that we're called to Jesus. We're not called to organizations. We're not called to rituals. That was what they used to be called to. We're called to a relationship. I want every Christian brimming over with Jesus Christ. I want us to wake up with Jesus and sleep with Jesus. I want Jesus to be your personal teacher. When you honor him, he sends his spirit into you. But if you honor him and something else, you will have not, because he will not share his glory with anyone. Faith in Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, I said, what was the Lord's favorite topic? It was himself. Number one topic of Samuel was to reveal himself. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. So many I's. His main topic was I throughout. And after that, it was belief. Will you believe in me? Believe in me. You are talking about Abraham. I'm talking about me. Before Abraham, I am. You are talking about Moses. I'm talking about me. Do you not know that even Moses desired to know my days? You are talking about the prophets. Well, go back and listen to those prophets. They talked about me. It was believe. Say, but if you do not believe the prophets, how will you believe me? Pray that the Lord will restore the Christianity that is about Jesus Christ. That is our prayer. For those of us who may have backslidden, who have gotten so mature in the church, and you want to confess in your heart that your heart has strayed a little bit away from the Lamb of God, make that confession. Don't be arrogant. It's not how many years you spent in faith that matters. All these things don't matter in judgment. Humble your heart. Humble your heart before the mighty hand of the Lord, and in due time he will raise you up. He said, unless, listen, if I speak the words of Brother Wale to you, do not take it. But if I speak the words of Jesus Christ to you, then you must. He said, unless you repent and you become like a what? Like a child, you will not see the kingdom of God. Are all of these scriptures just incidental? Ordained people used to go around calling themselves men of God. That used to be a name reserved for prophets, right? Listen, let's be wise. We're all children of God. We're all children of God. Paul, the great apostle, said, there's nothing I've been given that I have that I've not been given. If I've been given it, then why do I boast in it? But it's all the trick of Satan. May the Lord help us all to have access. So next week, we'll continue. As demonstrated, Jesus is our message. Jesus is our religion. Not man, not Moses, not the church fathers. And remember, not us. If we are not careful, we start worshiping ourselves. Opinions. Think about what Jesus said. Let your thinking be to discern the will of God. Right. I'll read a few things and then we'll close. This topic is very important, the topic of faith, because I wrote this and I just want to read it out. Let's admit it. There's a gradual shift from the good old message of the Lord Jesus, and we must restore it. Right. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verse 5, he said, he, that is Jesus, who gave you his spirit and works miracles. Please write it down and check it whether these things are true or not. He that gave you the spirit, he was admonishing the church in Galatia. He said, the person who gave you the spirit, the person who works miracle among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He was reminding them, if you remember the passages before then, they had begun to mix other things with simple gospel. What does Romans chapter 1 verse 16 say? Who? Not you. Not you. Romans chapter, who remembers? Romans 1:16 is a popular Christian memory verse. And from today, we will know it in Jesus' name. Huh? Let us pretend they haven't shown it. Who knows it? Huh? I am not ashamed of the cross of the gospel of Christ. Why? There will be no salvation. Every evangelism without Jesus and his resurrection, there will be no power. To the world, it's foolishness. But as foolish as it is, it's the wisdom of God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of preaching and talking about Jesus. Because Jesus is the light in darkness that gives its light to the whole world. So he was admonishing the Galatians, he said, because they were beginning to listen to the law. And he was admonishing them. Or those beginning to listen to church governance, administration, and all these things, which Jesus did not tell us to do. Jesus did not tell us to do that. He said, listen to me. The simplicity. He started by saying, why are you so quickly moved away from what? The simplicity of the gospel. Today, I say to you, please remember those of you who are old enough, remember those old tracts that they pushed in your hands. Those comic tracts that talk about repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Do you still hear a lot of repent sermons today? How can there be so much wickedness and the sermons on repentance has reduced? Don't you see that that is Satan? The world is getting more wicked and the message of salvation is diminishing. I don't know what it is that your Christian community, where you are, may be telling you, but I plead with you to please remember that Jesus is the Savior. There is a man that you are looking for. Him you must serve. Him you must honor. His word will exalt you. Please deliver yourself from the chain and the shackles of religion. Seek Jesus. Romans 10:17 says what? Another popular Christian memory verse. Romans 10 is a passage about faith, how it comes. And hearing what? A sermon? The histories, like Sister Bolale said, Brother Wally, are you going to teach history today? Or are you going to teach? She called him, he said, that was a lot of history. What do you plan to teach today? Is it history? Or the I said, maybe if you listen, you will learn some things from history too. And she laughed. No, hearing by the word of many Bible translations make that hearing by the word of Christ. Faith, which we are about to call, we only come not by hearing anything, but by hearing what Jesus has to say. That's why he was wondering whether there will be faith or not, whether he will meet people who are still listening to him. Faith comes by hearing, and he made it clear. I'm not talking about reading Christian books. It's very good. You can all of some of us listen to so many sermons, we don't even know who our teacher is anymore. And then when we ask basic questions about what Jesus says about a topic, you can tell me what Reverend Dr. Someone said, what? But we can't say what Jesus says about that topic. Whereas faith will come, and it will only come by hearing by the word of God. Faith. John 1:14 says, the word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And Jesus was full of grace. Verse 17 says, the law is given by Moses, but grace and truth only came through who? Are you bored? Grace and truth. Do you want grace? Do you want truth? It will only come by who? I hope that's not me talking. I only declare to you what the Bible is saying. Many of us are crying for grace and truth, and we're looking into different things. I wish we would put our eyes on Jesus, because grace and truth only comes through him. Acts chapter 4, verse 11. Who remembers it? It's another very popular. Please write it down, because I may ask the next time I preach, and I hope all of us will know it. These are the basic fundamental memory verses. Before I was a, these were things that I had as an unbeliever brother. And they choked my heart. I can list all of them. Romans 3, 20, I've said it before. Romans 6, 23. Romans 3, 23. 1 John 2, 15. Who knows what that says? Right. How about Acts chapter 4, verse 11? Verse 12, actually. Any other name? Is there any other name? Is that me talking? Brethren, I'm going to close the service. Please just stay awake. I just want to declare the majesty of my Savior. We are getting it wrong, brothers. Our focuses are all over the place. That scripture says there is no other. Are there any other steps? In fact, as I close, so that I'll not be tempted to read another verse. Actually, I'm going to read one more. In fact, in the book of Revelation, to demonstrate how important what we've been treating it, the Bible says there came out a scroll. John, was it an angel, was given a scroll? And it was opened. Oh, no, they said, who is worthy to open it? And they checked all of the heavens and they checked all the miracle workers, all the prophets. They checked Abraham. They checked Moses. They checked all these miracle, the God's generals, all of them. And there was nobody that was worthy to open that scroll. And what did John begin to do? He was weeping. He didn't know it was that serious. He was thinking, oh, I see Papa Abraham there. Come on, go, Abraham. No, Abraham was like this. He wasn't worthy. Moses was like this. He wasn't worthy. Kenneth Hagins was there. He was not worthy. Ora Roberts was there. They were not worthy. Their name was no longer Hagins. They have started bearing secret names that only God knows. No name. All the people we revere. None of them was able. Then the Lamb of God stood up. Said, don't worry. The angel, actually it was the angel, said, don't worry. Said, the Lamb of God who died, he is worthy. As I close, why did the Bible include that story? What was it supposed to tell us? Why would we be interested in certain scroll? We don't even know what was written in the scroll. So tell me, what was the Holy Spirit teaching the church? Who can tell me? What is the point of the Bible, of the Holy Spirit, including that story through John? Why? What's the significance of that story to us Christians? Anybody? Brother Usman.
I think the story is to really, it summarizes what our past few weeks are, that regardless of who you may look up to, you know, the Jews look up to Abraham. You know, the Muslims look up to other prophets, and, you know, even Christians look up to certain pastors, but regardless of how knowledgeable they might be, only Christ can give us the final victory.
Man. No one. In fact, there are only two classes. There's a class of Jesus the Savior, and the class of men, all of us indebted to his blood. Paul said, they are all gifts that God gives to different men. He gave some to be pastors. He gave some to be evangelists, some to be prophets. All. And those gifts are the benefit for all, are to the benefit of all. Thank you, Brother Usman. What I'm saying is the gospel that the apostles preached. Everywhere they went, they exalted Jesus. Whether they went in tens, two by two, 10 of them, or in 70s, they preached Jesus. And please, focus on Jesus. This week, like I keep encouraging you, break off that red letter word. I'm not giving a commandment. I'm just saying that, honestly, we need to increase our Jesus literacy. You will find joy. You will find joy. You will find joy. When we became born again, we did not come to men. We came to Christ. That's all I'm saying. Let Christians be Christians. If we're Christians, let's be like Christ. Let's honor him. Let's ascribe to him who bled for us. He is the only one. In fact, Paul, talking about himself, Peter, and Apollos, he said something to the Corinthians. He said, did any of us die for you? May the Lord help us and bless us. We'll talk about faith. Jesus said, when I come back, will I find? And then 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, Paul said, which I want you to do. Please don't be presumptuous. Because the time is very short. Our Savior is coming. He is going to expose the thought of every heart. He will. He will expose the thought of every heart. Nothing will be hidden. In that passage, the Lord said, check yourself. Many of us who got born again a long time ago, we've stopped checking ourselves. We are making assumptions. We have since departed from the kind of faith that we came into, and we're not even conscious of it. Some of you will wake up and pray early. You no longer do it. You're no longer checking yourself. Some of you, long time ago, you could not say 10, 15 sentences without blessing the Lord. But now you can explain and explain 10,000 things without mentioning the name of your Savior. Something has changed, and we're not checking ourselves. And the apostle said, check yourself. Make sure that you are still in faith. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. These are the last days, Lord. I check myself before you. We're all guilty. I don't know. Maybe some here are not, but I know I am. Seeing I'm falling short repeatedly of your glory. But I do know that you are my redeemer, my friend. I thank you, Lord, for the passion to see your kingdom come. I pray that you give each of my brothers and sisters here even greater passion than they have now until your kingdom comes. Pray it will not be about them. Help us to spend our lives as you commanded, serving you. Help us, Lord, not to accept the faith that is self-centered. Help us not to accept the faith that is designed around our needs and our wants. Help us not to accept the faith that is head knowledge and no heart, that is all preaching and no love. Give us the grace, Lord, to learn from you. You said, take my yoke upon me, my yoke upon you, and learn from me. For I'm meek and lowly at heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lord, teach us how to put this yoke, to remove the yoke in our hearts and our minds, and to carry the yoke of Jesus, which is easy. We confess our sins. I pray for my brothers and sisters whose thoughts may be very far from where we are. Please bring those thoughts home. Bring it to salvation. Every pain here, every suffering. Father, every want, every lack. Oh, Jesus, I pray. We pray, Lord, that you please address them. Let every household here experience your goodness in a personal way. You said we should pray one for another. Is there any tear here? Father, please wipe these tears away. I particularly pray for my brothers and sisters who may be sick. I pray, Lord, for Fanta this morning. As a church, we do. She is your child, Lord. We pray that your spirit will be upon the Tory family, Lord. Father, they have run into your house. I pray, Lord, that it will please you to rescue them in Jesus' name. And as many households as are harboring one pain or the other, Lord Jesus, how you love to help. Pray, Lord, that they will have succor in the name of Jesus. We pray for healing. For any intractable sickness among us, let there be supernatural healing in Jesus' name. As we walk with you, please let your love flow in our hearts, Lord. Pray there will be no bitterness. There will be no quarrel. Father, please let your peace rest. He said the peace of the Lord should dwell in us. Please let your peace be in us. Satan always wants to bring bitterness, but you're a God of love. Father, please flow in our hearts, O God, in the name of Jesus. Pray that those of us here, you keep us during the week. Pray nobody, Lord, we come get in an accident, O Lord. But Father, I pray that there will be joy in every household. We ask all of this, Lord, with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. At least you're going to you're going to be a worrying passage.